Sexy. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another exciting episode of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Ah!
I knew you were scheming something. You're like heading on.
I wasn't scheming until the last second.
He's
like,
too ready.
Ah!
The brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Gus.
Smelling good over there.
Hey, I'm wearing some James Bond cologne. Yeah, Ocean Royale.
Yeah, I hope you folks at home smell that through the microphone. It's wafting in.
Those who know me know I wear enough cologne that you could probably smell it through the speaker.
Hey, listen. Smell that?
Loud and good.
All right, well, we are the Brothers Movie Factory. On this podcast, we take a movie, we watch it, we then review that film, talk about what's good, talk about what's bad, talk about the cast and the directors and all that good stuff.
We watch it, we look at it, we view it, we think about it, we talk about it.
We eat it, we taste it.
Alive.
We then take that movie and we submit it to the bulk of the show, the Movie Factory. This is where we take the film, submit it to that factory and kind of rework it, recast the overall cast of the characters. We take the director, pull that out, put a new director in, take the composer, pull him, put a new composer in its place.
That's some factory shit there.
That's some factory in a shit. Then, well, at the end of the show, we might do a little game.
Whose turn is it for games?
I did last week, but I had a shitty one. I do have a possible game for you.
I'll let you redeem yourself.
Yeah, I think I could. But let's get into it. This week,
what do we do?
It was your choice.
My get.
It was your pick on the movie selection here. Yeah. And you're historically a famous fan of this franchise.
Oh.
Very knowledgeable. You've been known to beat me in a singular turn in Scenet of this game, the famous board game Scenet. What we watch?
We watched some of that James Bond action. We watched Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
1964 Goldfinger. Goldfinger.
This film, very classy, third James Bond movie in the series.
Yes.
So we skipped Old Doctor Now. We skipped Old From Russia With Love, and here we are.
Here we are.
Why this one?
This one, why not?
No. You asked for it.
Yeah. It was my pick this week. I picked Old Goldfinger because I was like, if we're going to do a James Bond movie, hey, might as well do my personal favorite, and that is the Old Goldfinger.
Every time.
Goldfinger. Now hear this, Goldfinger. We'll get into why this is my favorite one.
Now hear this. This is your captain speaking. What's that from?
Spaceballs.
There you are.
There's your one. We've mentioned James Bond on here before. I'm a big James Bond fan. We played a game one week. If we were deserted on Desert Island, what three movies would we have? One of them was a Bond film for me. Not my favorite, but a Dr. No, my most coziest movie. We did Clue last week, correct?
And smashing.
Yes.
Nah.
And we concluded that it was a cozy movie.
Nice.
I was like, let's keep it cozy.
Let's watch
Goldfinger.
Let's keep it very, very gentlemanly.
Hey, this is a gentleman's film.
This movie, its introduction to Bond is just so Bond. It's not even funny.
Well, which introduction?
I would say after the theme.
After the
opening credit scene, you're introduced to Bond, just getting a massage from a lovely lady. He gets up, introduces him. Yeah, her name's Dink.
Dink.
He says,
I'm glad to see you're in good hands, Bond.
And he says, Dink, meet Mr. Felix.
Felix,
meet Dink. Dink, say goodbye to Mr. Felix. And then he just...
Man talk.
Man, she says, what are you doing? Man talk. And just slaps her on the ass. Like, man. This would not fly today.
No, certainly not. It is definitely a product of its era.
Sean Connery, though.
Yeah, Sean Connery.
Hairy legs. Hey. He's pulling off a jumper.
Hey, a romper.
It's a jumper, please.
A jumper's a fucking coat. Google it.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know my articles of clothing.
I do. and I'm going to buy one.
For those of you who are like, what the fuck are they talking about? This is Sean Connery, famous Sean Connery. James Bond, Sean Connery. He's wearing his shorts, his very short shorts, are attached to his T-shirt.
Sexy.
They're one item, one article of clothing. One article. They are one piece.
One piece to rule them all, and Sean Connery has it.
One piece in the darkness behind them.
Yeah, and they did, and he's looking sexy.
Well, let's talk about the background of this movie a little bit. You go into it. I'm going to give you – this is your film. This is your series. Like I said, you've beaten me. We used to have James Bond seen it, for those of you at home. I'm pretty sure there was a time where you beat me and one of your friends in a singular turn. Like, you just kept getting every question right, and you beat us before we even ever got to go.
You team were teaming up. Two were teaming up. Blah, blah, blah,
we
blah,
team
blah.
Were teaming up for the team.
For the one for the team?
One for the team and for the team.
And it didn't matter because I fucked you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Goldfinger.
That's not how you say it.
Goldfinger.
There you go.
Is the third James Bond film. However, it was based off the seventh James Bond novel.
And for those of you who don't know, famous novels by Ian Fleming.
Indeed. Yes, Ian Fleming had his stab at many a James Bond story. And in 1962, they started adapting his books. Okay? And they started with Dr. No. They went from Russia with Love, and they just kind of skipped around. And I'm not too 1,000% positive why they went with Goldfinger. Goldfinger came out as a novel in 1955, 56.
I can find out.
This film came out.
The book is sitting right next to me.
Yes, I'm reading it currently. The book, I believe came out in 55, 56. The movie came out in 64. Pardon me. I must burp.
I said stop.
Ben.
1959. Fuck 59. Yourself.
Hey. Take it easy. I'm only a man.
Yeah, but you could not burp into the mic.
Hell. Ah, hell. Now you listen here, Goldfinger. Now hear this. I'll burp in the mic if I want. And I'll teach you how to play basketball and how to slay dragons and how to fuck the prom queen.
Okay, we got off topic here.
Now we're on topic because that's Sean Connery.
1959.
59. Wrote this book. Funny fact, Ian Fleming was inspired to write this book. He was taking a holiday at a spa, and at the spa he met this gold banker who gave him all this random detail about the gold industry and the stocks and the value of gold in different countries. And it was just some random bloke he met and was talking to while he was relaxing and vacationing. And through that, he's like, you know what? Bond should have a story about this. He felt inspired. So he wrote this novel about this villain who was, what's the word? I totally went brain.
You're gonna need to give me some details. The word
when you gold smuggling. There she is.
A smuggler.
A smuggler. Okay. I lost it. Yeah. There it was. He is word. I need you to wave your finger at me like you did.
Yeah.
And I got it. I just need to itch the brain.
I was putting my finger out there like E.T.
Yeah. I'm like gold smuggler. yeah. Got it. Yeah. Bond needs to go after this gold smuggler, and hey, wouldn't you know it, this gold smuggler he's going after has a deeper plot to do some shit.
And howdy.
And how.
And
so.
And how.
So, book became very successful, like all his other writings.
Real quick, was Ian Fleming's books, like, were they famous before the movies, or was it other way around? Like, were they doing well?
They did fairly well.
Okay.
They did much better once the movies became big.
Mm.
He, like I said, it was the seventh book in 59. He wrote many more up until...
I mean, there's 24? 23.
No.
Bond movies. Movies.
Movies. There's 24 movies.
Yeah.
Not all of them are books.
Yeah.
I think like 15 of them are books.
It's easier 19. To make a movie than it is a book.
Yeah.
In terms of time.
I think the last, if you don't count Casino Royale, I think the last Bond book that was adapted into a movie was License to Kill.
Got a license to kill. To kill.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gladius Knight.
You're welcome.
Gladius Knight. So, yes, Goldfinger came out in 1964 as a film, and that is what we're watching tonight. And this is my favorite Bond film for many reasons. And hey, for those of you...
And hey. We're going to get counter.
Your name's Hey.
Because you said it earlier. I almost called you on it, and then you just did it again. So I'm like, oh, there it is. I've called him on two things on this podcast outside of the show. I've called him on burping into the mic, which he'll probably do here in a second as he swigs this beer.
And this champagne.
And I've called him on saying, and hey, a little too much. Hey.
And oh, and okay.
Oh, and hey. Okay. Hey.
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 Hey. For those of you keeping count at home, I called you out on this last week. My count.
Favorite, Count Dooku?
No. Favorite movie count.
Yes.
Goldfinger is one of my favorite movies of all time. Easily my top 10 favorite movies.
Five.
When I say favorite movies for me, that means like movies that define me.
See, in my opinion, though, like your top 10, it really consists of like... 40 movies. Like, they're in there. They're like tie.
In a sense, yeah, maybe. It's, I was trying to get at, like, my top 10 are just movies that define me. Goldfinger's in there, and, you know, I love James Bond. And
taught you how to flirt.
Taught me how to flirt. Taught me how to,
taught you how to read. Taught you how to slay dragons.
Taught me how to, taught me how to drink mint juleps.
How to irradiate gold.
Yes.
Yeah.
How to?
What, name your daughter?
Name my daughter Pussy Galore.
Yeah.
Or Money Penny. How to avoid getting your dick zapped off by a laser?
Yeah. Just say you know shit that you might not.
Yes. Lie your way. Make it to fake lie. It till you make it.
Yeah. Lie.
Fake it till you make it. And we'll get into all these random topics
as we
review this movie.
Yeah.
So here we go. Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Starts out. Nice. And what's interesting is if you listening at home haven't seen a Bond film, this is the one that people really felt had it all as far as James Bond movies go. Had the gadgets, the action, the spies, the women, the all around James Bond. When you hear that
theme,
yeah, all the aspects of the spy thriller. They really felt it came together here. This is the third.
You're saying if you were to watch like Dr. No and From Russia with Love, they would be less similar to all of the films after that. Like this, the third film in the series is what set the tone really for the rest of the franchise.
That's what I feel, and others feel that too. This is the one where Bond as a character came into his own, you know, but also Sean Connery as a performer as Bond.
Was he in much before this film? Like before Dr. No, before the Bond character.
Yeah.
He was in a Disney movie.
Yeah, he was in some Disney movie. I can't remember what it is. You asked me the other day, I'll remember.
He's always smiling.
Some Patrick O'Durley or some Irish Disney movie with some leprechauns and he's singing. I couldn't tell you what it is. He was like Mr. Universe and how.
Whoa.
He was a model bodybuilder, in fact. He was not meant to be James Bond originally.
Handsome.
He was not meant to be handsome. he was not meant to be Bond, and after a few other actors came by the wayside, Sean Connery finally got his stab at an audition, and the producer, his wife, and him were sitting during a screen testing, and the husband leaned to him and said, is he attractive? And she said, absolutely. And he knew. He's like, well.
Was that the broccoli or?
I think it was Cubby Broccoli.
Yeah. Albert Broccoli is the husband.
I mean, Albert Cubby Broccoli is
how it is. Oh, okay.
And Mrs. Broccoli.
Yeah.
You know.
They're the producers. Yes, the broccoli. The broccoli clan. Yeah, the broccoli family.
If she wants to have it at old Sean Connery, then hey, throw him in.
I mean, halfway through this movie, I'm like, I want to talk like him. Like, there's like two people in history I want to talk like. I want to talk like Sean Connery. I want to talk like Jimmy Stewart.
How do you do that?
How do you get to be like Jimmy Stewart? Well, I'll tell you what. You grow up in Indiana, PA. You go be a war hero. You come back and you film movies.
Or do you lift weights and then you become an actor?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
That just sounded like popcorn popping.
That's what it was.
How do you talk like that? You study popcorn.
Yeah, you study popcorn. Then you watch one Jimmy Stewart movie, which is what I did.
Rear Window.
I don't think I watch Rear Window. Watch Vertigo.
Vertigo.
But you do that. You go to the Jimmy Stewart Museum in Indiana, PA, and yeah.
You're a man.
Then you can do it. Yes. Then you can talk like him. Anyways, we're not talking. Who am I? What are we doing?
Jimmy Stewart and Spaceballs always creep into every podcast.
Spaceballs.
And Tobey Maguire. Oh, there he is.
There he is. I know that face.
So we got old Shawnee baby here. And
Don't steal my line like that.
Making his third outing as James Bond. And not only is this my favorite because it has all the elements of what I feel a James Bond movie should be. In my youth, I grew up with Pierce Brosnan as James Bond.
Yeah, same. Like, GoldenEye is my personal favorite.
GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies.
Which I will fuck up on this podcast multiple times. I will call this movie GoldenEye.
Instead of Goldfinger. Yeah. That's what I knew growing up. I remember being very young. My uncle for Christmas one year got me three VHS tapes. It was Dr. No, Live and Let Die, and Goldfinger. Yes. And the first one of those I watched was Goldfinger. And it was my first look at a different Bond than Pierce Brosnan. And I don't know. I mean, I grew up watching old movies. So I just adored this film.
What's weird, too, is if you're sitting down and watching a Pierce Brosnan compared to a Sean Connery, they're totally different. It's like Pierce Brosnan, more action-y, techno savvy, where like this one is more espionage-esque, mm-hmm. slow build, plot, and everything. Yeah. It's very different.
Very old school. A lot of people would see it as maybe dry, and I like that. I like
dry like your martini.
Yes, absolutely. And that's it. It's a sipper.
This movie's a sipper.
This movie's a sipper.
This movie is a fine martini.
Yeah, you sip it and you enjoy it.
Well, that's how we're gonna start reviewing our films. It's very bold. We're going to give it a 10 martini sip out of 20.
Yes. You give this a 10 martini sip out of 20?
I was joking.
Hey, I'll fight you later.
We're not done yet.
I'll fight you later.
Let's get into the story of this film. It started with
you bite into that and you do that best there.
Well, it started with him, obviously. You had mentioned it started kind of some of these James Bond trips, and it kind of starts with like a big factory, and there's water outside of it, and you see a little duck floating along, and then all of a sudden it pops up, and there's a fake duck on James Bond's head, and he takes it off. He's in a big old scuba Steve coming out of the water.
And you know, that sounds silly. And
but it works.
It was a laugh for the audience back in the day, but that was also the first time you'd seen Bond like that.
Yeah,
and that's what made that part so charming.
Yeah, and then he gets out and he blows up a factory. But like right after he's setting the explosives, he gets him. He's been in his scuba suit the whole time. He's taking out a couple guards. He unzips his scuba suit and he's just in this nice white tux. He just got out of the water and he's just in this perfectly pressed tux. And he's just very suave. It's a great character introduction. Even if you've never seen, like, you don't need to watch Dr. No. You don't need to watch From Russia with Love. You can watch this film and know almost within the first 2 minutes who this character is as a person. As in, like, he's just very suave, very very good at what he does.
Yeah, very capable man.
And you get your first pun. He gets his first kill. He throws a guy into a bathtub and then throws a fan into the bathtub and shocks him. Yeah, shocks him to death. And he says, "Shocking.
Positively shocking."
And walks away. And then the music hits, and that theme, gold
finger. Gold finger.
Yeah.
By that damn Shirley Bassey. Oh, wait, Dame. Dame, yeah. Shirley Bassey.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a great theme. If you haven't heard it, it's, you know, you don't even have to listen, or you don't even, a lot of the James Bond themes, you don't even have to watch the movie for that to appreciate them. They're good songs in and of themselves, and that this is no exception. But she holds the record for the most Bond themes.
Yeah, she's done three throughout the series. I don't think anyone else has even done two. Else has. Yeah, she did. Dr. No, or no, fuck me.
Dr. No is just the theme.
I Dr. No in my brain. I was going to make a factoid point, but Shirley Bassey did Goldfinger. She did Moonraker. But before she did Moonraker, she did Diamonds Are Forever in 1971.
I love Diamonds Are Forever.
Diamonds Are Forever. You want to know another random factoid about Diamonds Are Forever? When they were writing that song and piecing the music together for Diamonds Are Forever, Shirley Bassey was like kind of like struggling with like how the inflection of the song.
Yeah.
And the songwriter, he was like, "Sing it like you're talking about a penis."
Penis. Penis.
Not like that.
That's what she does. She says, "Forever, forever."
Like, listen to the fucking lyrics.
Diamonds are a penis. A penis.
They're all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me.
Makes me highly uncomfortable now that I know that.
Yeah,
I'm going to listen to that theme and be like, she's just talking about my penis. I don't like
penises
it.
Penises forever.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, the inflection.
Do you want to know what Goldfinger's about?
I'd rather not.
It's about a man.
But let's
the mightiest touch.
So what's interesting about this movie, and I pointed it out to you, so the first bit, where is he in that first introduction
Mexico.
Scene? He's in Mexico, all right? And then he takes a plane from Mexico the next scene. Well, he's in England, and then he takes... Yeah, he goes to see M.
Not yet. He goes from Mexico to Miami.
Ah, to Miami. So he's in Miami. That's where you meet Dink, and he's getting his good old muscle massage, and he's wearing his...
He's talking about his man talk.
Yeah, his man talk.
He's wearing his romper.
But this is where we're kind of introduced to Goldfinger, and you want to explain kind of like how we're introduced to this character, Goldfinger, because it is almost... It's almost like he's meeting Felix, who is the American CIA agent that's kind of put on the case to observe Goldfinger's activity.
They suspect he's a gold smuggler.
Yeah, of
so
some sort.
Bond is vacationing in Miami, and Felix is friends with Bond, and he approaches Bond about, "Hey, we got this guy. You want to check him out too?" He's like, "Oh, sure. Where is he?" "Right there." And wouldn't you know it? He's vacationing in the same place. He's been playing gin rummy with a fellow, whatever you call it, stayer at this spa.
Vacationer?
That one? I like stayer better.
Stayer.
And taking him to clean.
Stayer guy?
This buddy guy. And so Bond's like, this guy's a cheater. I'm going to go to his room and find out how he's cheating.
He finds it. He finds a very lovely lady by the name of
Jill Masterson.
Jill Masterson, who is
good,
who is observing his opponent's hand through a set of binoculars, and she's also feeding him directions on what the opponent has, helping him cheat so he can win.
So already, we have in this introduction of Goldfinger, he's a dastardly man, cheater. But also in this introduction we didn't touch on, you also get the sense he doesn't even need to cheat. He looks like a very rich man.
Yeah.
Very wealthy.
He just likes to win.
He just loves to win, hates to lose. And he pays this woman, Jill Masterson, to help him cheat. And she even mentions he pays him for her to even be seen with him.
Yeah.
And Bond asks, "Is that all?" And he's like, "Yes, just seen." He's like, "Well, thank God for that." Bond's so damn smooth, baby ass smooth.
He ends up getting her too.
One little conversation's all it took.
Yeah, But he does basically ends up screwing up Goldfinger's little cheating plans. Goldfinger ends up losing, what, $10,000?
Oh, let's be generous. Let's make it $15,000.
$15,000 is what he loses?
Got it. Got that line in.
You got it there. Hey, that's gold. He does lose $15,000 to this man that he's been taking to the cleaners for weeks. And then he also scores a nice date with old Jill Masters.
Old Jilly baby.
Yeah.
Stalled again.
So then we come to probably one of the most famous scenes in the movie.
In cinema. I would argue in cinema.
Bond and her are making love in that, and he realizes that the wine has gone cold. Yeah. So he goes to the fridge to grab a new bottle, and he is promptly judo chopped in the back of the neck, which knocks him out. Yes. And then when he comes to, we find old Jill Masterson, and she's painted gold and dead.
She's covered in paint. Gold paint.
I don't think he snorts.
I imagine he did. His nostrils are flared like he's...
Yeah. Very upset.
yes, the painted girl, very famous shot in cinema, very beautiful, very iconic.
Oh no, for sure. And it kind of leads us on kind of this chase where Bond now it kind of became a little more personal for him.
Yes.
So his agency decides like, all right, we'll put you on this case. We'll have you look into him because gold, if he is a gold smuggler, can be melted down. And it's almost untraceable. So they put him on the case, and he decides that it's time for him and Goldfinger to meet. And he sets up a golf game with Goldfinger. And they play the most epic game of golf since Michael Jordan sank a hole-in-one in Space Jam.
He's fixing a divot.
My first hole-in-one!
My first one. I will score 8 more tonight.
But they do play a pretty epic game of golf, and basically 007 kind of becomes privy to the fact that Oddjob, who is Goldfinger's caddy, is cheating for Goldfinger again because Goldfinger wants to win. Goldfinger lost his ball in the rough. Oddjob kind of put a ball out his pant leg and went, ah, because he's mute, ah, and dropped the ball in the rough for Goldfinger to use, and then Bond becomes privy to that and ends up switching the ball.
Yes. They're playing strict rules of golf.
Yeah. He ends up switching the ball on him, switches it from a Slashenger 1 to a Slashenger 7 so that very Bond key. Can then accuse him of cheating and then win the game.
You know, this sounds very mundane. Like, why the fuck are we talking about a silly golf game
in a spy movie?
And how they're cheating in a spy action movie.
But it's all set up real smooth. Like,
yeah, it is.
It is tense, too. The scene's
like
tense.
They really have a good
relationship, too, because it's kind of like a game of cat and mouse.
It is. Very good. And I throughout this movie, I love their chemistry. Bond and Goldfinger. Sean Connery, Gert Frobe. I love their chemistry.
Well, and Goldfinger is almost the exact opposite. He's like overweight, out of shape, not like smooth talking almost. Mm-hmm. He's very rough and gruff, not good with the girls. There's even a scene where later in the movie where he's holding kind of rubbing Pussy Galore's hand and she pulls it away. Like she's sick of him touching her, and like they're almost complete opposites.
Very, very good. I never really thought of it like that, but they kind of are. Mm. And something about this game of golf, you really get a sense of kind of like who they are personality wise, both Bond and Goldfinger, but also what they're willing to do to beat the other guy. Outsmart each other or cheat to win kind of thing. Very nice. And I always love that golf scene. I've watched Goldfinger this year alone 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah. but from
when
this
I say it's
golf,
one of my favorite movies, I'm not lying.
Not only do we get the sense of who Goldfinger is as a character, but we also understand more about his henchmen. So every great Bond film usually has some underclass villain, like a lower class villain, the henchman type. You have your Jaws, which is he's probably the most famous, I would say.
It's between these two.
Jaws, Oddjob, and even like right up till like GoldenEye, which is my favorite. There's the like Boris is a henchman in sense in modern day, but then you also have the lower colonel, the Russian colonel,
General Ormov,
General Ormov,
or even like in 2002's Die Another Day, you had Zhao. He had, like, the diamonds in his face. Or
even
lately, you had Spectre from 2015.
Mr. Hanks.
Mr. Hanks, Batista, and he's the big bulky guy with silver nails. Like, these little, like, iconic little touches.
Yeah.
And it kind of started, well, it's hard to say, because with the henchmen, because in fucking From Russia with Love, oh, her name escapes me right now.
She's the one with the
she has
the foot, the knife.
The knife in her shoe.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it started.
Yeah.
The little touches with, like, the henchmen. But Oddjob and Jaws are probably the most famous. Jaws being a 7 foot tall henchman with metal teeth he uses to bite people with. Oddjob, go ahead.
Oddjob, a shorter Asian man. You mentioned he's always supposed to be, like, very short, or he's shown to be really short.
He's portrayed to be short, but he's fucking 5'10".
Yeah, he's pretty big.
Bulky as shit.
He's bigger, taller than I. I'm 5'7", so taller than I. But he does have a hat, razor-brimmed hat. Throw it, he can chop people's heads off with it, and or just hit you so hard it breaks your neck.
Yes, and it'll fuck you up real good.
And that's probably an iconic scene, too, is when he's kind of introduced to have this ability to chuck this hat, and he chucks it at a statue at this golf club to kind of display for Bond, like, who he's messing with. And he knocks the head off a statue and then walks over and picks his hat up. And then Bond ends up throwing him the ball, the actual Schlesinger 1 ball that he stole. Mm-hmm. And Oddjob, because he's mute, just kind of looks at him, has a little bit of a grin on his face, but just crushes the ball in his hand, a fucking golf ball.
Yeah.
There's rubber inside that ball. He's like,
crushes it like
done.
Just an egg.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Goldfinger says to Bond, like, you've stumbled in my affairs once before. You know, I would have thought that would have been enough. In that he's like, I know who you are. I know you were the guy at the club before, and I killed that woman.
He did say my name's James Bond at the little vacation.
Oh, yeah,
that's
Goldfinger.
Yeah, and then he introduced himself as James Bond again. So
did he? I don't know.
Yeah, he did. He said,
I don't think so.
Yeah, they were talking. They were calling each other. He was calling them Mr. Bond the entire film.
Well, he introduced himself as Bond at the country club, at the golf club.
Yeah, and he introduced himself in the first scene.
I don't think so. Let's watch it again.
We'll
be right back.
Yeah, we're going.
All right, we'll be back in 2 hours. He's like, this is who you're messing with. I've shown you once. I'll show you again. Oddjob, throw your fucking hat. And he did. And
That's what he says.
And you know what? Good call. Very iconic shot. Oddjob throwing the hat, slicing the statue's head off. I can count three. Three iconic shots in cinema. The golden girl, the slicing of the statue head, and one more, which we'll get into a little bit later. And we'll be like, iconic scene number three. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So Bond basically goes on this kind of chase to Switzerland. After Goldfinger, he put a little tracker in the back of his car, tracks him to Switzerland, where he's just kind of pursuing him to go to one of his factories, one of Goldfinger's factories. And in this kind of pursuit, he comes face to face with a new girl that's trying to kill Goldfinger, and her name is what?
Tilly Masterson.
Who is Jill Masterson, the woman who is painted gold, her sister. She wants revenge. She wants to kill Goldfinger. Her life is not spared. No. She's killed promptly. By Oddjob, who hits her with his hat, breaks her neck.
And you get a brief moment where you're like, is this going to be the Bond girl?
Yeah.
Because the last one was killed. And their meeting is kind of interesting because Bond uses his car to kind of meet her, his gadget-filled Aston Martin. Uses the gizmos and gadgets to
pop her tire and fuck her whole side. Yeah.
But there maybe there's four iconic scenes in this movie because slightly before that you mentioned that this movie kind of goes all over the place. We're in Mexico, Miami.
Yeah, it's not in London
that
much.
It takes you all over the place, but we do go to London for a bit. Mm-hmm. That's where Bond gets his briefing, kind of gets his information about gold and the idea of smuggling and what they're looking for. And then Bond goes and meets Q at Q Branch. And this is the first movie where we really get that taste of Q Branch. And for those of you who don't know, Q Branch is like where Bond goes to get his gizmos and his gadgets. Okay, this is the first one that really
almost every movie.
Yeah, almost everyone. And Bond films are kind of famous for the gadgets and stuff. This is the first one that really made that, like, the staple. And this is where Bond gets introduced to that fancy Aston Martin car. And it has all kinds of gizmos and gadgets in it, and including, this might be the iconic thing, in the gear shift, there's the little red button.
See that red button? Don't press that red button.
Whatever you do, don't touch it. Why not? What's he say? Burped.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, whatever you do, don't touch it. Why? Burped.
Out pops
and that's the
hood,
end.
And the ejector seat shoots out the passenger car. Ejector seat, you're joking. I never joke about my work, 007. Good
was
stuff.
That, was that Dame Judi Dench?
Thank you.
But yes, so if he flips up his stick shift, he can press a little red button. It'll eject the passenger seat.
Very cool.
So after the old now no longer best gal is killed.
You think might like maybe this one.
Yeah,
yep, she did too.
Then she gets killed. I even was like, did she die from that? Because this is the first time
broke her neck.
I had seen a Sean Connery, Roger Moore, George Lazenby, like any of the a non Pierce Brosnan and or Daniel Craig James Bond movie in the past 10 years.
You think so?
10 years. Probably close. I would say, 13, 14, definitely, and so he is kind of taken into custody with this, with Goldfinger's minions.
Goldfinger.
And, there's one guy, they're having him drive his car back to the factory, and there's one guy holding him at gunpoint, and he ejects him out of his car, and then goes on this good chase, but then he ends up crashing and getting caught.
Yes.
And we come to our most famous scene, probably in the entirety of the film.
Yes, I agree, absolutely.
You want to just briefly touch on that, like that scene specifically.
And, you know, this scene has been mimicked so many times. Our hero, the villain, is tied to a table, big laser pointing at him.
Our hero, the villain.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you said our hero, the villain, is tied.
Holy shit!
Help! Help! I'm tied.
Our hero. Did I say that?
Yeah, you said our hero, the villain.
Oh my god. Our hero is tied to a table.
Is my face red?
Our hero is fucking tied to a table, and there's a goddamn laser pointing at him. And the villain, this is where I go, my brain's mixed up. The villain's standing, laughing, about to unveil his evil plan kind of thing. Mimicked many times.
Mm.
And, you know, we get that iconic line. Iconic line.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
Dracula?
Whoa.
I'm kidding.
Bond tries to talk his way out of getting his dick chopped off by this laser.
He's very concerned. he's staring down there a lot.
And, you know, I've seen this movie a billion times, but still every time the music swells, the editing, like just the sweat on Sean Connery's head, this laser getting closer and closer to his giblets.
Yeah, he does not want those, chopped off.
And Goldfinger doesn't give a fuck. He's just like going off about his business, and it's just so intense. Yeah. I'm sweating thinking about it.
And Bond basically just convinces him that it would be better to keep him alive with all the things that he knows. Someone's going to take his place. Someone's going to know more than he did. It's just going to be worse for wear if Bond is dead.
Operation Grand Slam, perhaps?
Yeah.
Two words you might have heard in conversation. Can you afford that chance?
How about we explain first Pussy Galore, and then do Operation Grand Slam. Just kind of explain that.
Yes.
And then let's just wrap up the film and the finale.
We're about there.
So. Yeah, we are. So he is then tranquilized because they decide to keep him alive, and he wakes up on a plane and wakes up to a very beautiful woman played by
Honor Blackman.
Honor Blackman. And she plays the character Pussy Galore, which is another famous scene from this movie. My name is Pussy Galore.
I must be dreaming.
Yeah, and then he lays back down. Like, it's a very... This movie's full of famous, iconic scenes.
What a name.
Yeah, Pussy Galore. And I'm like,
what a name that wouldn't fly.
Pussy Galore and Odd Job. Like, those are just weird. Like, he was just bored. He's like, woman.
Pussy.
Attractive woman. Galore? Pussy Galore.
We'll put that together.
But yeah, so she kind of is introduced as this very powerful, strong woman. She's Goldfinger's personal pilot, and Bond kind of takes a shine to her.
It's like, hey, I'm attracted to your confidence. I must conquer you.
Mentality. And she says, "Don't try it. I'm immune," and walks away. And so Bond turns his attention to another girl.
Yeah. interesting factoid: in the book, which this film is based on, movie doesn't touch on this at all. Pussy Galore in the book is a lesbian, and obviously doesn't want to have anything to do with old Bond and his charm. So that makes her a unique challenge that he's never faced. A woman that has never wanted him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting in the world of James Bond.
Yeah, very much
so. If you're
so.
A fan of these films.
Yeah, if you know these films, because it's like anyone he sets his sights on, they're either going to die or he's going to get them.
So if you kind of have that thought, knowing that she's a lesbian, even though in the film they don't even mention it, if you have that thought, it makes sense. And you could play it off like that, too.
Yeah, for sure. So basically then we get into this Operation Grand Slam where he's just being kind of kept alive on this ranch, Bond is.
Kentucky, we're all over the place.
Kind of being held hostage, and Goldfinger introduces his plan to a bunch of his other fellow gold smugglers. Operation Grand Slam, where his plan, he has been given a nuclear weapon from the Chinese.
Yep.
Basically go into Fort Knox, America's gold supply, and irradiate all the gold to make it useless. No one can touch it. It's radioactive. Basically make it worthless, tank the United States economy, which will please the Chinese, and then since all the gold there is so like not valuable anymore, all of Goldfinger's gold goes up in price, so he becomes very even more wealthy than he already is. And then he proceeds to kill all of his other fellow smugglers. He gasses them all, which both of you and I were like, why'd he tell him if he was just going to gas him? But you mentioned that kind of plays to his character.
Maybe that is our window into who he is as a person. He likes to win. He hates to lose. To the point of madness, maybe. Maybe he wanted to just boast his plan to his fellow competition before he killed them. He's like, this is the greatest plan ever, and you can't do it because you're dead.
Got him!
Got him.
He's like, hey.
Get the old...
Hits him with the got him, the okay, ball assembly. Gazer. Ball gazer hits him. Hey, everyone, look here.
He smoked them all, and they all died. And to the point where even the people who were like, and these are people.
Oh, I'm out of here.
His competition were people who were like, yeah, we're all in. We're going to donate money to this. He's like, good. I'll kill you. The guy who wasn't like about it, he's like, no, I don't want anything to do with this.
I want out.
He got out. And you know what? Odd Job fucking took him off the highway, shot him, put him in a car, and put him in car compactor
and put him in the back of his new truck and drove away.
Yeah, like yeesh,
got him too. But yeah, so that's kind of the plan. And
so
that's
a window into Goldfinger's madness.
Yeah, and how they're going to get in there is kind of up to this point. You were like, well, how are you going to take down Fort Knox? There's, I think he says, 41,000 soldiers.
Yeah, it's a
fucking
army
in Fort Knox and guarding the supply. So basically he puts it out there that Pussy Galore has been training these pilots to basically be like trick pilots, and they're going to be flying.
They were circus pilots.
And they're going to be flying near Fort Knox that day. They basically suited up to have this knockout gas to knock out the entirety of Fort Knox, everyone there, so they can just kind of go in unscathed, irradiate all the gold, get out without an issue. Yeah. But Bond has a moment to kind of convince Pussy Galore to seduce her a little bit, and convince her to maybe change her way to, what's he say, to find her maternal instinct.
Yeah.
And she ends up switching the gas to make it a little less powerful.
It was supposed to kill them all.
Yes.
She switched it. She was able to switch it so it would just knock the people out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So instead of killing 41,000 people, it just knocked them out.
Go sleepy by.
Yeah. So that ended up happening. And they do get down there. They get to the point where they're just going to leave Bond in this place and with all the gold in the vault to let the bomb it irradiate. And they're on their way out, and basically everyone wakes up and starts fighting.
Yeah.
Goldfinger and his crew. Goldfinger switches into an American uniform to get away.
He had it all planned out. Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, he switches into an American soldier uniform and gets out. But Oddjob is trapped in the vault with Bond. They have a pretty epic fight, hand-to-hand fight, and basically Oddjob knocked off an electrical wire and
with his old fucking hat there.
And then Bond threw the hat back, and it got into a metal fence, and then Oddjob goes to grab the hat, and he grabs it, and Bond touches the electrical wire to the electric fence, and it shocks Oddjob to death.
Factoid.
Do it.
The actor that played Oddjob is a professional wrestler. He's a tough guy. He did that scene where he grabs the hat, and Bond touches the wire to the fence, and all the sparks shoot out, and the smoke, and the fireworks are going off, and Oddjob screams and dies.
Yes.
The actor,
yes.
the director said action. They shoot off all that shit, and the actor dies. Turns out that actor got burnt the fuck up because the
that
fire
was legitimate.
Yeah, the fireworks and everything going off, but he didn't let go and he didn't run away because the director never said cut. Because
he was a man.
He was.
He's like, kayfabe, my ass.
This is kayfabe. I believe in this. I will die for this. And he got burnt.
More.
He got burnt hard. Another factoid just about people getting hurt on this movie. We mentioned the beginning, before anything, the opening credit scene, that the character gets thrown in the tub and the heat lamp gets thrown in. He gets shocked to death. Shocking. That actor, he wasn't even supposed to be in the movie. There was an actual Mexican actor. He got arrested like 2 or 3 days before the movie started shooting because of thievery, and they needed someone else to fill in the role, and this gentleman who was working on the movie already stepped in and filled in that role. When the steam shoots up from the heat lamp getting thrown in, that's fake steam, but it was caused from a pipe, shoots up steam. That steam pipe like wire got wrapped around his leg in that shot, and is burning the fuck out of him. So his reaction is pretty legitimate.
Like, this guy's good.
Yeah. He's like, ah! if you watch closely, right before they cut, he looks like he's reaching for his leg because it's like burning his leg. Whoever said stunts are not... stunts are not safe. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, Quantum of Solace. Stunt driver died, correct?
That might have been on Skyfall.
Was it Skyfall that the stunt driver died? Recently, a new James Bond movie, a stunt worker died.
I know, in Quantum of Solace in 2008. Daniel Craig like broke his arm.
Yeah,
doing stunt.
Yeah, but
very high octane, very dangerous, risky stunts.
Ultimately, they save the day. They prevent the gold from being radiated. Bond's on a plane, but then
Got to touch on that bomb though. The bomb's about to go off.
Yeah.
It's clicking down. The military is finally able to come in to the Gert vault. The gold.
The old Gert.
And the bomb's clicking down. 10, 9, 8. Oh, what are we gonna do? Oh, hit
and it
that
starts
switch.
Playing. It starts playing Space Jam.
And lovely. The clicker stops at old 007. 7 o'clock.
I didn't catch that shit. Yeah,
you didn't see that?
I did not see that.
The ticker's counting down. It's like 10, 9, 8, kink, 007.
Well, I did not catch that.
In the book, it like stops at like 3 seconds.
Or like make it more intense.
Yeah, let's make it a little more tongue-in-cheek. That was from the director there, Guy Hamilton. He came to this movie, and he brought a more tongue-in-cheek, a more fun adventure to the Bond franchise up to this point. We had
Guy Fieri, is that what you said?
Guy Hamilton. Yes.
All right, well then yes.
Bring us home here.
He prevents it from blowing up and irradiating all the gold. He's on plane home. Pussy Galore is flying said plane, but old Goldfinger appears on the plane. He turns out he killed all or tied up and gagged and bound all the flight crew.
Yeah.
So he's on the plane. Bond and him proceed to fight. And then Goldfinger shoots out a window on accident.
Whoops.
And gets sucked out way of Quint.
You felt bad? You felt bad about Goldfinger?
I felt bad, yeah. He got sucked out of a plane. His fat ass got sucked out a plane window.
You're like, is this going to be like the end of Nightmare on Elm Street where the mom gets sucked in the tiny door window?
It did. Next thing you know, he's like, no.
You're like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he just slides right out the window. That's it. But then they end up ejecting, and then we get our end scene with old Pussy Galore and James going under the covers of a parachute.
Yeah, they're fine and dandy, loving each other, and the Bond theme rolls in. We go to credits. Mm. But don't worry, James Bond will be back in Thunderball.
Thunderball.
Fun factoid, once again, movie based on a book. Oddjob doesn't die the way he does in the movie.
He's dying in the book.
In the book, old Tilly Masterson, she lives a lot longer. She doesn't die until the finale. Oddjob kills her in the same way. Oddjob and Goldfinger escape Fort Knox, and they end up on a plane similar to the finale of this movie. Window gets shot out. Oddjob gets sucked out the window.
Oh, okay.
And dies. And Bond beats Goldfinger to death. He punches him till he dies.
Good.
Yeah.
Just fuck you.
Basically. The Bond in the books is very much more... the best way to put it is uncaring and just cold.
Yeah, more of the Daniel Craig-esque Bond.
Yeah, I suppose so. But yes, we got our Goldfinger wrapping up as a film. Sean Connery, Honor Blackman, Bond, Pussy Galore. Probably the two most iconic Bonds and Bond girls.
Hmm.
Yeah, having their fare thee well.
All right, yeah. So definitely, if you're gonna watch a Bond movie, there's several that I always would say, like, these are the ones you need to watch if you want to get into it. I would say Goldfinger's definitely one of those Bond films that, like, if you're gonna get into Bond, you want to try one of these 24 movies. This is one to do it on. I would always say, like, I definitely always say GoldenEye. If someone's gonna get into Bond, I always say GoldenEye. But Goldfinger, I would definitely say, is if you're gonna get into the old school Bond, Goldfinger's the one to start with. New would be Casino Royale, obviously. Yep. But if you're in for that old, kind of slow burn, martini sipping movie,
gentleman's film.
Yeah, gentleman's film. Definitely this. Yeah, for sure. You think?
Oh, absolutely. If I'm to recommend three, I would say yep. If I were to start anyone at a Bond movie, it'd either be Goldfinger or GoldenEye, as you said, and then probably Casino Royale or maybe Skyfall. Those are some fan-friendly Bond films, and you get a little taste of who James Bond is as a character, but as a franchise as well. In all three of those,
franchise,
yeah. And like I said, this one's just been a part of my life for a long time, and it was like a whole new world. I grew up.
A whole new world.
Hey,
new fantastic point of view.
I sang some shitty Bond music earlier. That
was beautiful.
That almost made me cry.
That the sound just like her.
Let's recast this as a Disney cartoon.
Let's recast this, but with Disney characters. Ooh. So Bond is played by Hercules. Bond is played by Phil.
Whoa, whoop-dee-doo.
Pussy Galore is played by... fuck, I was going to say Puss in Boots, but that's DreamWorks.
What the fuck are you
talking about? Antonio Banderas is Pussy Galore. Let's cast it.
Take it easy.
Definitely. Well, we're talking about casting this film. Hey. How about we submit it to the factory? At this point in the pod here, we're going to take this movie, we're going to submit it to the movie factory. As we said at the beginning of the show, this is where we take the film and we then change the director, change the composer. For this one, we're just going to change the singer, I think. Is that what
singer
we're doing?
The theme song.
The singer of the theme song, yeah. And then we'll take some of the top cast members and we'll switch them out, some of the main characters, change those up. So for this film today, we're going to cast the singer of the theme, the Goldfinger theme. We're going to change up our director.
That's what you just said.
I know, but I'm going to get into the characters.
Okay.
And then we'll do, let's go Oddjob, Pussy Galore, Goldfinger, Bond.
Very well.
Okay. So go ahead with your singer. Who you want as your singer?
Oh boy. You ready?
I am.
So it's like who has the voice to sing Goldfinger? Very, very famous song sung by a very famous singer, right?
Justin Timberlake.
So that was a sung by a diva, right? Diva of old. How about a diva of new? Bring me Lady Gaga.
Oh, okay.
I want Lady Gaga singing a James Bond theme song. She's got that excellent voice. Can be soulful at times. It has can have some husk, but it can also have some like some grandiose. Give me Lady Gaga.
Hey,
beat me if you can.
I do it. The only thing I was thinking about changing it up, and instead of having a woman
Tom
sing
Waits.
It, instead of having a woman sing it, having a man sing it, having a man sing it with a deeper tone, that old school big band, because this is a very big band song. I was thinking about having, and you're gonna maybe laugh a little bit, but he pulled off Seth MacFarlane. He can pull off. Have you ever heard Seth MacFarlane sing? You've heard him sing. He sings exactly like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah,
it would sound like this Goldfinger. Picture Goldfinger, but sang by Frank Sinatra. That's what this would sound like. It would just be goofy because it's the voice of Peter Griffin.
But he wouldn't sing it like Peter Griffin.
No, he would sing it fantastically because he has a great singing voice. If you've never heard Seth MacFarlane sing, literally sounds exactly like Frank Sinatra, like to the T. So it'd be switching it up for sure.
Fun factoid. The 1967 Bond film, You Only Live Twice.
You only live twice.
They wanted Frank Sinatra to sing that theme song. He's like, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Use my daughter. So they use Nancy Sinatra. Yeah. And she's famous for...
Boots Are Made for Walking.
Boots Are Made for Walking. So, and You Only Live Twice.
I didn't know that was her.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that today. I was like, what would it be like if we took some of these Bond themes and kind of flipped them on their head, where it wouldn't work for like Diamonds Are Forever, obviously, for it to have like a guy sing that because it's very
it's about a penis.
Yeah, it's about a penis.
It might have been Seth MacFarlane.
but for this one, I was like Seth MacFarlane singing Goldfinger, like that Frank Sinatra-esque tone with the big band music. It might work really well. It might be a lot different. You want to flip it? Or you want to challenge it?
Or do you just want to be like Lady Gaga should sing my James Bond theme song?
Not because you said that we're challenging it.
All right.
Heads, Lady Gaga. Tails, Seth MacFarlane. Here we go.
You lose.
That didn't flip.
Everything.
There we go. That's a good one. We got Seth MacFarlane, you bitch.
I mean, he's...
Take me out to place tonight.
What have I done?
Maybe you should have picked a better coin. All right, let's go. Director. Who we got as director?
All right. Well, I start last one. You start this one.
Okay, so for my director for this picture, I was thinking of switching it up and doing a pair for this film. They have recently they took a movie that everyone like a movie genre that everyone was like, oh, they're good. They're good movies, but they're nothing else. And I think back, and I'm like, you know what? They could pull this off, and that's the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
The Russo brothers directed, most recently, Avengers Infinity War. And they're now currently directing Avengers 4. But what I'm hearkening back to is their directing style for The Winter Soldier. That's a movie that, like I said, most people will look at and they're like, that's the turning point in the superhero films. Because that you talk to most people and they would say, not only is that movie a great superhero movie, it's a great movie in general. It's a great spy movie. It's a great
espionage
movie. It's a great action movie. It's different. It's a multitude of things. And they pull it off phenomenally from the ground up. So I think that it would be a really fun movie with the Russos. They handle comedy really well, but they also handle, obviously, action. They can handle star power. You know, I always applaud them for the fact that – think about how many egos they have to feed on a movie the size of Avengers. Yeah. And they did it. You see it. Apparently, all of them love it. You know, I've never heard anyone other than villains in Marvel movies talk shit on the movies because they enjoy being there, apparently. So I definitely think the Russo brothers would be able to pull that off.
Good grab. I'd be happy either way with where we're going. My pick is...
Seth MacFarlane? The direct? and play James Bond?
What is this? A Million Ways to Die in the West? No, I pick old Christopher Nolan. I've mentioned him before, but the reason I'm grabbing for him is because he's always wanted to make a James Bond movie.
Yep, it'd be good too.
Give it to him, damn it. He's even pulling Give for it to now. Me. Why they didn't go for him is probably a paycheck. Yeah.
He'd probably need like a lot more control than they'd be willing to give him.
Probably
because he has his own studio.
That's probably a fact.
He has his own studio, and they probably wouldn't want to give it to his studio to do. Like he could co-produce, but.
But, you know, this is the factory here. So can you imagine if he made his own
movie? It'd be phenomenal.
Our little glimpse of that would have probably been some like Inception, maybe less fantasy or whatever.
It's similar in a sense. It's espionage.
Espionage, action. I just really want to see his stab at a Bond film because he wants to do it so much. Because he's so passionate about it. And it's
for
been
sure.
a driving force in his life. And he's such a famous director.
Yeah. He barely directed. I don't think he's directed a flop or anything bad. Everything he directs is great, as I've seen, at least.
You know what's funny? If you were to ask someone, like, what do you think Christopher Nolan's worst film is? A lot of people would say Interstellar. And you know what I say to
them? Wrong.
I say there's a special place in hell for you.
Yeah, they're wrong. Let's flip for that. So heads for mine, the Russo brothers. Tails for... Chris Nolan. Here we go.
Ooh, oi, oi.
Tails, Chris Nolan.
There she is.
It's a Tails kind of night. So Chris Nolan wins it up. That's okay. We can keep the Russos for another time. All right, let's cast our odd job. You can go first.
No, this is you, ma'am. I couldn't.
You couldn't think of one, so you're giving it to me?
I couldn't. The guy I thought of is in prison for life.
Yeah. So. You wanted the guy from the first Austin Powers movie.
Yeah. He's a parody of Odd Job in Austin Powers. He plays Random Task. Turns out he's in prison for life for torture.
Yeah, he kidnapped things. A woman. Yeah.
Yeah. No thanks. He's busy.
Well, the person I chose has been in multiple films. I think they're a perfect pull for this part. They've been in Kick-Ass 2. They've been in Annihilation with Natalie Portman. They've been in Prometheus. They've been in The Martian. They've been in the Netflix series Marco Polo. They've been in Doctor Strange and The Avengers.
Who are they?
Benedict Wong. He also is known for playing Wong in Doctor Strange.
He's a bigger,
heavier set Asian guy.
Yeah.
I think he would play it perfectly.
That's good.
I would kill for a tuna melt.
Yeah, that's
he says
a good
in Avengers.
Pool.
I mean, look, like,
he's
perfect.
Good.
Benedict Wong. He plays Wong in Avengers: Infinity War and Doctor Strange.
Yes.
He's really good in those. He has a lot of great scenes, and when he's in a little less so in the Avengers, but in Doctor Strange, he's more serious. He's put forth as a serious character. He doesn't have many goofy scenes. He has a couple, but even in those goofy ones, is he listening to Beyonce? He's listening to Beyonce in Doctor Strange, but he's still like so serious.
Yes.
So I think he would be able to play it perfectly.
Good pull there
with Benedict Wong.
Great pull.
Great record.
great record.
It made me laugh too when I saw it. I'm like Benedict Cumberbatch, Benedict Wong. Like they're the two last two wizards.
B.D. Wong.
We could get B.D. Wong to play it.
That's a velociraptor.
Watch it, mister. Why are you talking like that?
Because that's B.D. Wong.
No, it's not.
He's talking about.
What?
Yes, he is.
I love B.D. Wong. He's awesome.
Yes, he is. Dude, have you seen Mr. Robot?
No.
Oh, he's great, Mr. Robot.
Well, yeah, he's great in everything he's in.
That's Velociraptor.
Anyways, next part, Pussy Galore.
Ooh.
Who you want as your Pussy Galore?
Lady
Gaga?
I actually thought about it for a second. But, you know, I was like, I can be a little bit more creative than that. And someone English, like Honor Blackman. And I was also pulling from Honor Blackman's history. She was very famous for the show Avengers.
Mm.
another like British spy show. That was her. That was her big pull, and then she was a high commodity, and they wanted her for Bond. I'm gonna kind of do the same. Someone famous for television, and cast her as my Pussy Galore, and that is Lauren Cohen. She is famous for playing Maggie in Walking Dead.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's in The Boy. She's in The Boy. That's like the movie I've seen because I haven't watched The Walking Dead, but I've seen
and
that
she's
recently.
She's in Supernatural season three.
Bella.
Bella. Yes.
She's great.
She's great.
And she's a very good actress.
She's a good actress. She can play this confident, tough woman who takes charge and just very beautiful and very I could just see her going up against Bond, you know, and just playing and paying tribute to this character.
For sure. Everything you just said.
It's my favorite thing to do every day.
Minus the movies, obviously, the filmography, and just the way this actress that I picked acts, the way I think she would – what the type of person she'd be able to portray on screen because she's done it before. She's not British. I wish she was for this role, but I still think she could pull it off. And that's Jennifer Lawrence.
I was going to say, if you say Scarlett Johansson.
No, yeah, it's always ScarJo. No, Jennifer Lawrence. She's played it. She was recently a spy in the movie Red Sparrow, even though people – I've heard mixed reviews.
All right.
But she's played a tough character in more movies than one.
She's probably the one – if not – she's up there with the most iconic – strong woman characters in The Hunger Games.
And she's fantastic in almost every movie she's in. She puts it all out there.
She's an Oscar winner.
Yeah, she's a very good actress. So, yeah, J-Law in there for that one as well.
Very well.
And you want to flip for it?
Obviously.
Where'd my coin go?
Oh my God. We lost the coin.
We've had the coin for years. Oh, there it is. Found it.
It always goes in the fucking skull hand.
Yeah, whoops.
Don't ask me why I have a skull hand on my desk.
But he does, and it holds our coin.
Yes.
All right, here we go. We'll go heads, J-Law. Tails, Lauren Cohen. Here we go. And
come on, baby.
Yeah. Cha-cha.
Holy
shit.
Come on, guy. Fish it out of there. Here we go.
That was the longest one. All right, heads.
Oh, J-Law.
So J-Law is our Pussy Galore.
All right.
We'll go on.
What
you're like looking at this and you're like, we got Seth MacFarlane singing the same theme. I'm already out. All right. Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Yeah. I have two for this.
All right.
Do you want to hear them both? And then can I tell you both mine and then you help me to narrow it down to one from there?
Okay.
Okay.
And then we'll just pick mine.
And then you'll pick yours, yeah. Are you confident in yours? Like, really confident?
Pretty damn.
Okay, so both of mine are pretty well known for their villains. One has been a hero before. One I don't think is ever a hero. They're not bigger guys, which is upsetting to me because I see Goldfinger as this, like I said, big, bigger man.
Like the opposite of Bond.
But they're both evil, and I think they could play evil well. Number one, Mads Mikkelsen. Mads Mikkelsen.
Okay.
He plays Galen Erso in Rogue One. That's the most recent film I can think of. Doctor Strange, he's the bad guy in that as well.
You know he's played a Bond villain before.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is the factory.
Okay.
He plays Lachey.
Lachief.
LeFou. I told you, we're casting them all Disney villains.
Gosh, it just thrills me to see you, James Bond. So down in the dump.
I almost... Who plays Beast? Or not Beast. Gaston in the remake.
Luke Evans.
I almost cast Luke Evans as Bond.
My Bond, too. Yeah, at one point.
Yeah, but I decided against it. But then my second one, a lot better, has not been a Bond villain, but is a villain in everything he's in, and that's Jason Isaacs.
Okay.
Jason Isaacs is just a bad man in everything he's in. Like, watch The Patriot and just
evil.
Try and like him in any other film.
It's pure evil. Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah, Lucius pure Malfoy. What else is Jason Isaacs a bad man in? He's the Inquisitor in Star Wars Rebels.
pure evil.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever played a good guy.
He has. He recently did two. was it two shows on USA? He did the show Dig, or yeah, and he did that show where I don't remember the name of it. Very interesting concept. He was a detective. He dies. Him and his his wife and his son are in a car, and they all get in an accident. And when he's awake, his wife is alive. And when he goes to sleep, he goes into the other reality where his wife is dead and his son's alive.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
He was a good guy in that. And then he did another kind of detective show called Dig. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, he's very good at playing this pompous asshole bad guy. He might be more suited for another villain in the Bond franchise, but I think he would pull off this character well. I know who yours is, and he's just gonna beat mine. But go ahead.
All right, so I went for Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio.
I'm just gonna write it down.
Vincent D'Onofrio is very much the build of Goldfinger, even in the description. He is. In Full Metal Jacket, he plays Private Pyle.
Private Pyle!
What's
that ridiculous grin off your face?
He's in Men in Black. He plays Edgar, the villain.
Sugar, water. Hey, that's my truck! Dear friend of mine.
What really made me be like, this is my Goldfinger, is his portrayal as Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, in the Daredevil Netflix series. Brilliant villain portrayal, brilliant acting, but just this like juicy, seething evil villain in the husk of this wealthy man.
Husk of Fisk?
Indeed. And he's my Goldfinger.
Goldfinger, I definitely just agree. He's because Kingpin, the character he plays in Daredevil, is this underground crime lord. Wealthy man. And correct me if I'm wrong, Fisk is like a well-known public figure in Daredevil, isn't he? As well? He's not just like an underground figure. He's also like a well-known public figure. Yeah. Is that more in the comic books?
No, I mean, he's a known commodity.
Yeah. Which is how this is. He's like one of America's like number one billionaires in Goldfinger, and then he's also, they have this feeling that maybe underground he's this bad man. So, yeah, he would just be perfect. He's the right build. Right type of person, has the right personality. I'm with you on that one, 100%. Jason Isaacs, another day for our next villain someday.
That's a great actor to pull for something else, for sure. I'm glad you brought him to our palette.
Yeah. All right, last up here is Bond. Who are we having as Bond? That's hard. It's a hard question. But who are you thinking as your Bond?
It's funny. I want this actor to be James Bond. I don't know if he's right for Goldfinger. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But I want him to be Bond next. And that is Henry Cavill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forget. Was it me and you that talked about that? I hear it somewhere?
Maybe.
I might have heard it somewhere as well.
We did talk about it. We discussed, because he's Superman.
Yes.
He's our current Superman. He's our
Man
of
Steel. He's going to play Geralt in
what is that?
Witcher.
The Witcher.
The Witcher on Netflix.
And he's in many, many things.
Yeah.
Immortals. Uncle. And, Immortals. And he was in Count of Monte Cristo when he was a little younger. Great actor. Great build. And he, I think he is going to be the next Bond. There's the rumor he's not going to be Superman anymore. Probably because he might be Bond next. So we'll see. He's just who I want to see.
Chiseled as fuck.
He's sophisticated as all hell. And in his, recent outing in the Mission Impossible 6 movie, he's fuck badass.
Yeah.
Very gritty take.
Can we get Tom Cruise for this film?
Hey, Tom Cruise, James Bond? I'd throw mine and pick away. but then if you had Tom Cruise, James Bond, you know what that is? It's called Mission Impossible.
You're not wrong.
Yes.
Never seen a Mission Impossible movie before. Not a single one.
Get the hell out of here. What?
Nah. That's why I'm casting Simon Pegg as my Bond.
Sexy.
Oh, man.
But no, Henry Cavill, he's my pick for Bond.
I just lost my Bond pick in my head. I honestly did.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I just all of a sudden had the thought of Vincent from Pulp Fiction, like John Travolta looking around like, huh? Like, as Bond, though. Like, John Travolta as Vincent playing Bond.
Royale with cheese.
I am going to go with what I said on the way home. Just to play devil's advocate here, I'm gonna cast John Boyega.
Whoa!
I told you I would, and I'm gonna go with it. John Boyega. He would be the first African American James Bond, which would be a big deal. And more often than not, I look at that and I think, well, the Ian Fleming character that he made is Caucasian, white, but that doesn't matter in the realm of storytelling here. It's the true Bond is how the character is portrayed in terms of his actions and his suaveness and all those aspects. And I think John Boyega is young enough, up and coming enough, that he could pull off this character. He is British. If you didn't know, if you've only seen him in Star Wars, he plays Finn in Star Wars. But I don't know his character in Pacific Rim Uprising, like what his name is, but he has his actual accent in that film.
Yeah.
He has a very strong British accent. But he's a very good actor. I think he would be able to obviously handle the action well. He could pull it all off, pull off the suits. He could look suave. You've seen him go to these events and things, and he looks like he's ready for a night out with the ladies. See him with Daisy Ridley, you know.
Hey,
Daisy Ridley was almost my pussy galore as well.
Hey, that would have been nice too, but he'll sweep up J-Law, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I like Jason or John Boyega. I almost said Jason Isaacs.
I'm with you on Henry Cavill a lot though, just because I seen him in everything else, and I think he would just play the role so well in comparison to the past.
Not that John Boyega couldn't. I just think he's a little too young.
He is young.
He's just creeping through 26 right now.
Mm-hmm. He might be the youngest Bond.
Oh, might be. Would be. However, that being said,
George Lazenby?
George Lazenby. Lazenby. Who played Bond in Honor, Majesty, Secret Service in 1969. He was 29 when he played Bond. He looked like he was fucking 40.
Yeah, he had that. Is he the one butt chin?
He had a nice old butt chin. Mm. He looked old for his years.
Yeah.
So that comment I just made of John Boyega being a little too young really is irrelevant. But that's just my stab to get my pick in.
I think I would. I'll do this with you here. I'll go with Henry Cavill. No coin toss. No risk for you.
But we have to kiss.
I'll take your pick. If Henry Cavill as Bond is the first Bond with a mustache through the entire movie. So it's not just Henry Cavill as Bond. It's Henry Cavill with a mustache as Bond.
No terms needed. Sold.
So you're doing it.
Tickle me sold. Tickle mustache. Me sold with that mustache.
All right. All right, so that's a hell of a film there. All right, so we have singing our Goldfinger. We have Seth MacFarlane, the voice of Peter Griffin, Brian Griffin, Stewie Griffin, Dr. Hartman, Mr. Peter Schmidt, all of them, doing the theme song here. Director is directed by Chris Nolan. He's the director of, obviously, the Inception, Interstellar, Dark Knight trilogy.
Dunkirk.
Yeah. Odd Job is played by Benedict Wong, who plays Wong, coincidentally, in Doctor Strange and Avengers. Then we have Pussy Galore, played by J-Law. We have Goldfinger, played by Vincent D'Onofrio. And we have our Bond as Henry Cavill, but he has to have a mustache. He will be the first mustachioed Bond. Man. All right.
Classy.
That is the factory.
That's the kind of move I'd want to drink a little brandy to.
Yeah, you wash that mustache. You got a mustache? Yeah.
I know.
All right. You ready to wrap it up with a question here? Put a little bow on our factory?
Put a little spit in it.
Yeah. Here's a question for you.
I'm ready.
Okay. I asked you a similar question today where I said, and I was talking to you on the way home today, and I said, what Ben Stiller character would you rather fight? And I gave you a list of Ben Stiller characters. I'm going to do the same thing, but it's which rendition of Bond would you want to fight? You're fist fighting him. You're fist fighting Bond. Would you rather fist fight Sean Connery, Roger Moore, George Lazenby, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, or Daniel Craig?
Who would I rather fight?
Yeah, you're fighting them, fist fighting them. Obviously not Daniel Craig. He'll win.
Yeah. I'm fucking fighting Roger Moore.
How about this?
Okay.
Same question, but you're and you're instead of this, but you're having a mustache. You're having you're having to deal with a Bond. A Bond's trying to kill you, but you have another one fighting for you, protecting you.
Okay.
So it's like two Bonds against each other.
Okay, so I'm not technically fighting. I have a surrogate.
Yeah, you have a surrogate, but he's coming for you. So you gotta...
Okay. Roger Moore is trying to kill me. Okay.
Wait 3 days, Roger. That's the rule.
He'd try to fight me with his charm and his quippy one-liners.
And his
English etiquette. Who I'd want to fight for me? Fuck. Is either Daniel Craig? Yes. Or Sean Connery. You know what? I'd probably go with Sean Connery.
It would be like the greatest intellectual charm chess match of all time.
Whoa. They'd charm each other. Yeah,
they just end up kissing and be like, "Oh, what's going on?"
Sean Connery is so charming. He would get Roger Moore to kiss him, and and he'd
it'd be over. Yeah,
yeah, and Sean Connery would win. Yeah. He'd probably beat the fuck out of him though. So if you're having me
slam his head into a door.
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. Your best. Losers always talk about doing their best.
Sean Connery would get a umbrella and he'd scare a bunch of pigeons at him.
Sean Connery, he's got the Holy Grail on his side.
He does.
And you know, the quest for the Grail is not archaeology. It's a race against evil. If the Nazis get a hold of it, the armies of darkness will march all over the face of the earth.
I would take... I would have George Lazenby fighting me because he was only in one Bond film. Right. So he's obviously...
He's just a model.
Yeah. Too. I'd have George Lazenby go up against me, and I would have Pierce Brosnan fight for me because Pierce Brosnan would get into a pickle at one point for some reason, and then he'd get out of it, and he'd hit me with that one-liner. I'd be like, oh, we're safe.
What about Timothy Dalton?
Another happy landing.
What about Timothy Dalton, though? He's a
slasher of prices.
So Ben here does some of the most obscure impressions you'd ever hear. Two of which are of Pierce Brosnan and of Timothy Dalton.
Like, you really didn't think I knew you were Chinese intelligence, Chang?
Like, who does impressions of Pierce Brosnan and Timothy Dalton? Mm-hmm. Timothy Dalton?
I'm a slasher, and I've got to be stopped. What? Of prices!
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton. Oh, very my. Good. Good. Good.
Good.
Good. It's good. It's a Bond. All right. Well, that is our movie. That is our pod. That is the show, everyone. We're going to wrap it up here. Before we get going, I would like to tell you whatever you're listening to us on is fine. However, we are also on iTunes, Google Play. We are on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Audioboom. Audioboom is our primary sponsor. That's who produces our podcast here. We put it up to their website.
The pod tree there.
They produce it out to all the other places. So Audioboom is the place to go if you have no other place to go. You can also find us on social media at The Bros Movie Pod. That is where we'll keep you up to date on what movies we're watching. We'll also communicate with you. You can hit us up with any feedback you have, any messages you might want to send our way. And lastly, we would like to thank all the listeners and thank you for listening to this episode. It validates everything we're doing here. It gives us a little more fun when we see those views go up and those listens go up. And we really appreciate you guys giving us your feedback and enjoying the show.
Yes. Yeah. A little taste of the glory.
Yep. So until next week, I would say that's a wrap.
Would you?
I would. Brothers?
Are we brothers?
I think we're brothers.
Brothers?
Brothers!